This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Broad.
On Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Broad on Joy 94.9. Thank you.
It's 94.9?
That's it? Well, yep.
That's the only 94.9. Okay.
Yep. Cool.
Hi, my name is... Okay.
Yep.
Hi, this is Anna Rose Holmer, director of the FIPS, and you're listening to Broad on Joy 94.9.
So this is Broad on Joy 94.9, and we're speaking to a Rosie Lord and a Julie Kalsef talking about something really interesting. It's a Lean program, or it's called Lean Filmmaking. It's one of their events coming up really soon on the 14th of November. So I want to welcome you both to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Cool. It's good having two people at once so I can figure out who's who. So what is this program? It's going to be at the fairly new venue, Acme X, or ACMI X, in Melbourne. What's it about?
Okay, well, we're guests of Lean Filmmaking. Mm-hmm. Lean Filmmaking is actually run by a wonderful filmmaker, a Melbourne filmmaker called Kylie Eddy. Her and her brother have run this program for quite some time and have really built it up into something quite special, quite extraordinary. We met Kylie a couple of years ago in Adelaide when we were both speaking at a conference. So she knew we were in Melbourne, so she's invited us to come along to their Monday night event, which should be really exciting. We're going to talk about our multi-platform drama Starting From Now and how we've been able to build an audience online across the five seasons that we've released of the series.
Yeah, because that's been an extraordinary, you know, success, a great success for something, for a web series to run that long as well. Yeah, Kylie had a show here at Joy, actually, Pink Popcorn.
Oh, right.
Few years back, looking at film and stuff, and it's great to see something like this do so well and be so engaging, particularly with local creators, Australian creators. So that's a good thing. Yeah, I'm looking at the program. It looks really, really interesting.
Yeah, well, and Kylie's done a great job of supporting local filmmakers as well. She's very good at really supporting the industry and supporting up-and-coming filmmakers. And she has a really unique approach to writing and to filmmaking, which is really interesting.
Mm.
Yeah, she's got a really great idea of what the questions are people want asked as well. So they don't, you know how sometimes you can go to these filmmaking events and you don't quite get to the nuts and bolts of it,
yeah,
of what it is that you need. Mm. She's got her finger really on the pulse in terms of what people are looking to hear and what information they're desperate for to get from people who've been there and done things like we've done with Starting From Now.
That's what I think. She's pretty extraordinary. Getting that pulse and coming along at the right time. So very good. Excellent. Now, starting from now, of course, most people, I guess, well, I'm hoping, who are listening to this, understand the importance of this series and how it really has broken the mold. So many millions of viewers as well and followers and so on. When you are talking about it to an audience, like in this particular sort of educational field, how do you approach that?
It depends on what the audience is after. I think what this particular event is about is focusing on how we've managed to build an audience across that time, because a lot of people are starting to make online content now, but I think what they need to keep in mind is that there is a lot of content out there, and so you can't just think that you'll put it up and people will find it. You've really got to work hard at building an audience, finding an audience first of all, and then building an audience. So that's what we'll be talking about. We'll be talking about how... across the five seasons, we've built an audience up to, we've got over 30 million views, we've got a really strong online following,
yeah,
we've built a community out of our audience, which is something that's been very important to us. So we'll take people through the steps that we took in order to get to that point.
Because I met you, Rosie, briefly at the Webfest that was here in Melbourne. It's still relatively, I'm not saying it's a new thing in Australia as far as making web stuff, but as far as I believe more of the awareness, more mainstream and publicly, do you think that's the case, or do you see that starting from now has been one of those that have broken that mold.
Yeah, the timing and success of starting from now really sits in that window where web series went from being a dirty word into that calling card for filmmakers, where the established and traditional broadcasters were really starting to take note. Julie and I have just come back from a trip around the States, and it's really wonderful seeing how the conversations shifted with the major players, like we're talking HBO and Warner Brothers and Universal, and everyone's looking to the web to see, to find the next voices and to find the next exciting makers to see a proof of what it is they can make on very limited resources and limited budget, and give them a shot in doing something on a much larger scale. Starting from now is one of the first programs like around the world to have made that journey, and for that to have happened in Australia is really exciting, and for SBS to have been our partner in terms of picking it up earlier this year was an incredible opportunity and a really wonderful step for both Julie and I and for the show.
I think so. And it does give it that kind of extra tick or appeal, and hopefully, you know, expand that audience, which I'm sure it's doing with that SBS.
Definitely. Mm. I was just going to say that because the SBS audience is very different from our YouTube, Facebook audience.
Yeah. I would think so. But, hey, do you know much about the feedback yet or response to that audience?
To SBS?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were really happy. Our numbers were almost on par with Unreal, which is incredible, seeing as they have an HBO marketing budget.
Wow.
And we're actually talking about potential collaborations for the future. So watch this space. Exciting things.
That's exciting for you guys, for both of you. I mean, this has been a passionate, you know, project of love, really. Would you say, Julie? I mean, sorry, I haven't spoken to you much there. But as but as someone who's also been involved for a long time with this, was it your intention that this would happen? Like, did you just think, oh, look, let's make this series and see how we go? And or did you dream bigger?
I mean, I'd like to say there was this grand plan in place at the start, but that's
world domination.
It was all planned out. When we started, the plan was to make one season and to put it online and to prove there was an audience. I was so frustrated with the lack of female representation in mainstream media, the lack of diversity in terms of sexuality and ethnicity. It got to the point where, I mean, I'd been out of film school just over 10 years. I was frustrated at trying to tell stories that I wasn't passionate about. So I got to the point where I was just like, I'm going to do it, put it online and prove there's an audience. And so we shot the first season the day after shooting. It went so well. We had such an amazing team. I realized that there was so much more of the story to tell. So we quickly shot another season. We had two seasons in post before we put two seasons in the can before we started post. So really it's really kind of just gained momentum. So then after season one went out, we shot a third season. Rosie came on board to help producing it for the third season onwards, and that's when it really escalated because we were able to build on what we'd got. Rosie was instrumental in building relationships with the funding organisations and with SBS, and through that we were able to get funding, increase our production values, and it's the rest is history. That was the big plan put in action.
Well, it seems like it's been important, that relationship. Like, you've come from sort of different angles and different backgrounds, and just for people, because of course Rosie is a star, you know, like that's I guess the public face too, and we don't hear so much about what goes on behind the producing side of it. So Julie, what's been your background to lead to something like Starting From Now?
I'd always wanted to be a writer, and I took my mother's advice of having a career to fall back on and became a high school English teacher.
Cool.
Realised after a few years that that's really not what I wanted to do. So I left. I studied screenwriting. I went to Arthur's. I did a master's in screenwriting. And then, as I said, when I left film school, I really struggled because I was trying to write stories that I was seeing on screen and that I thought I needed to write in order to be successful, whatever that is. And so it took me a while before I had a lot of scripts in the bottom drawer that I wasn't happy with. I also started directing out of
a bit of frustration because I couldn't find directors that I wanted to work with who wanted to tell the same story. I'd worked on another web series. I realised the potential that a web series had in terms of targeting an audience and finding your audience online. And so then just over 3 years ago, started making season one. So it's been I've been writing for 15, 20 years, but it's only when I really had that epiphany that I needed to define my own voice and tell stories I was passionate about that things started to happen.
Mm. Yeah, okay. And like you said, it's been a real drive, has it, to try and show those representations of women, of LGBTIQ or queer women as well, and that type of diversity.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, when I was growing up, there were no lesbians on screen, and any lesbians that were on screen were either angsting about being queer, and that was a source of contention and a means to suicide. And seeing those characters killed off, not seeing those characters and then seeing them killed off, is so destructive. And it's been, some of the feedback we've had from our audience has been amazing, because people are saying that they wish they had this content when they were 12 years old, and that's exactly how I felt. So it's been really nice to hear that. And this is, the thing is, there are still, the characters are still being killed off at
ridiculous
rates on screen.
I'm wearing a T-shirt now that you can't see, but a T-shirt is that hashtag LGBT fans deserve better. And that was something that came out from the 100, that TV show. So, very sad, very destructive and quite unnecessary, let's face it.
Absolutely. It's lazy, it's ignorant, and it's very destructive to our community.
Very, And Rosie, for you, as a woman too, who's doing two things, you know, producing on the one hand, doing all that stuff, it's the stuff you don't hear about very much, but also, like I said, you're the face of the show in many ways and have carried it too, along with such a brilliant cast. Having those two different roles, is it hard sometimes to not have the producer's hat on all the time when you're acting? How do you manage to juggle both?
It's been incredibly difficult. This shooting's starting from now, seasons 3, 4, and 5, attempting to do both has been a really steep learning curve, and one that I'd say I probably haven't nailed all the time, but that's okay. I'm getting there with it. The main way that I've been able to do, I guess, even as well as I have, is because I've been surrounded by so many supportive people, Julie being the first. Like, it's impossible to entirely take the producing brain off whilst I'm doing the acting, but knowing that I've got, one, permission to do that, but then, two, I've got people around who are, like, are there also thinking about the producing that I trust inherently was, like, I wouldn't have been able to do it without Julie and without other key people that we put around us to help that happen as well. Because at the same time, Julie was also directing and producing and was the writer of the whole show, being the creator of it. So needing to be respectful of the fact that she was wearing multiple hats at the same time as well was a real balancing act for both of us.
Do you get to, like, at this stage of the series, do you have many people who are helping produce now and doing some of that other work, picking it up for you, stuff that you can't always?
It's tricky because we're both so close to it and the resources are still tight, even with the incredible support of Screen Australia and Screen New South Wales and IVF Australia and the different organisations that came on board to help us fund the latest seasons. The budget's really tight, so we didn't have a huge capacity for support around us, but we did have a couple of key people who were able to step up and really help us whilst we were filming, absolutely.
Yeah, cool. And, of course, so you've come back from the States, and I guess you can't really tell us very much what's planned for the future. I can feel that you want to, but, hey, it's all right.
There are a couple of things we can say, some that's already public. Earlier this year, Screen Australia did an initiative called Gender Matters, where they were funding female filmmakers. Mm-hmm. And Julie and I were picked up as a team to develop a long-form TV show. So she's in the process of writing that out, aren't you, Julie?
Yes.
Somehow. Somehow managing to do that. Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. Can you tell us much about that further to that or not yet?
Yeah. Well, it's a half-hour drama and it's not – people ask if it's a spin-off from Starting From Now. It's not a spin-off from Starting From Now, but it does appeal to the same audience. So we figured we've spent we want to honour our audience. We've spent this much time building that audience that we want to keep creating content for them. So the half-hour drama has four female protagonists in the lead. There's a great deal of diversity in terms of sexuality and ethnicity, disability. We're really trying to push the boundaries. We figure we've built this platform. Let's really utilise that in order to tell stories that we want to tell.
Cool. That does sound really good. We do need that, for sure. And yeah, particularly in Australia or anything made here as such. But yes, very good. Now, if you were saying to like a young woman, well, any woman who wants to be a female filmmaker or television web maker, what would be a key thing that you would suggest each one of you as something to guide them by?
I would say to trust your voice and to trust your instincts and to tell the stories that you want to tell. I think where I was at a Film Fatales meeting on Monday night, which is a group of female writer-directors, and we were talking about Jill Soloway's speech on the female gaze and talking about how we're taught to write and we're taught to tell stories from a male perspective, and it's time to break that mold, and it's time to tell stories that we want to tell, to use our instincts and to tell them in a way that feels right to us, and there's an audience out there. I think for too long we've been forced into a different way of thinking, and this is the time things are changing, and this is the time for women to stand up and to find their courage and to start taking control and telling the stories that other women and other men want to hear. We've got a 28% male audience, so just tell good stories the way you want to tell them.
Wow. Yes, I didn't realise you had that's quite a sizable male viewership. That's pretty cool. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. And, of course, Rosie, for you, what would be something that you could suggest to people to guide them?
Going off Julie's answer, I'd say find the people and the support and the groups and the networks that bolster you in that journey. There are lots of different groups around the country, around the world, of female or ally filmmakers supporting, telling unique stories that aren't traditionally seen. And those resources are out there. Don't feel like you need to do it alone, and don't feel like you need to reinvent the wheel at the same time. It's hard enough as it is. And knowing that you have people around you that can help pick you up when you fall over, because invariably we all do, find those people and those groups to help you out.
No, very good point. Now, of course, it's a pretty ominous day in some respects to be talking to you.
Yeah.
Because you've just been to the States. You've just come back, obviously, and today is the day, in our time zone, we may know by 3 p.m. today, Wednesday here, the 9th of November 2016, about the outcome of the election. Is it going to be Clinton or Trump? Your thoughts about that from a female perspective?
Oh, well, I think it's... I really feel like if things don't change now, then when will they? I mean, we still don't have marriage equality in Australia. These things that by now, having a female president, having marriage equality in nations around the world. I just feel like if it's not happening now, then when is it going to change? If Hillary isn't elected and Trump is, I just don't even want to think about what that means.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. The ramifications are just disgusting beyond words.
I know. I have a feeling that they are, some people are already calling it for Clinton, basically. But...
Yeah, but it was interesting, like across our travels, I was chatting with quite a few American locals, obviously, and because of the circles we move in, everyone was saying that they were pro-Clinton, but I was I was quite scared by how many people were sitting back and saying they weren't going to vote because it was going to be a Clinton landslide and they didn't need to.
No, right.
And that got me a little bit worried. So I started arguing with everyone who said that quite firmly.
Yeah.
Like, do it. Don't vote for me because I can't.
Yeah, I know. The ramifications, yeah, as you're saying, what happens next will be interesting. And, I mean, it was scary enough to see the violence that seems to have, you know, obviously escalated from the time of when Obama was first elected, and to see things, the reactions that some people are having. I just hope it doesn't become like that towards women. That's what I'm very concerned about.
When Julia Gillard was Prime Minister, it was great. There's a female Prime Minister, but look at how she's being treated, and what does that tell the next generation?
Yeah. And to some extent, we need to be prepared for that to happen, because there is obviously a large percentage of society across the world, but at the moment it's getting a lot of attention in America, that seems to be okay, that they think that that's okay, and that needs to be addressed on a really systematic level as well as a personal level.
Mm, no, I agree. It could be more terrifying than ever before, but at the same time, it's almost like this has to happen for, like, lancing a boil or something. I don't know. It could be nasty.
Yeah. Yeah, sounds appropriate.
Well, look, we'll have to wrap it up, because I know I'm really grateful just for this time to speak to both of you. You know, two for the price of one. That's pretty cool. Thank you. But yes, good luck with what happens at Acme X with the lean filmmaking. How many people do you know? How many people they're taking, or what's the normal intake?
I think it's getting close to having a full house, but there are still places available, and it's a free event. You know, Kylie's been great in setting up these free events, so it's a free event, so people can still get a ticket.
Yeah,
they
just have
they
to
come
get
along.
There. Yeah, I mean, book it or something. Yeah, cool. Well, that's great, and it's a great opportunity to meet both of you. Yes, pass on your wisdoms and experiences, and hopefully there'll be some plenty of women there too, or females.
And that's the other thing. It's a great opportunity to meet other people who are also in the same field, potentially at a slightly different level to wherever you are, and find your next collaborators.
True. Very true. So they've got a Facebook page too, Lean Filmmaking. You can find them there. It's just Lean Filmmaking. It's pretty easy to find. They're also on Twitter at Lean Filmmaking. And Kylie is the person to speak to there, or just make sure you can book. There is still some time. It's Monday, 6 p.m. This Monday coming up the 14th. So get into that, people. You get to meet Julie Kalsif and Rosie Lord. That's a Q&A as well. So you'll be able to pick their brains.
Come pick them, bro.
Good brains to pick. Good brains to pick. And as far as starting from now, good luck with everything. It just sounds fabulous where it's going.
Thank you.
That's wonderful. And before I do let you off the hook, literally, I wonder if you could both all together or separately do a station tag for the show, if that's okay. Throwing you
for
in
sure.
the deep end.
Yeah.
The name of the show is Broad. It's in Broad. And it's on Joy 94.9. Obviously, your names or whatever you'd like to say would be great.
Do you want me to say it's something like, hi, it's Rosie from Starting From Now. You're listening to Broad on Joy 94.9.
Perfect. That's
you're
it. That's
okay.
Cool. Thank you.
Nice. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, it's Rosie from Starting From Now. You're listening to Broad on Joy 94.9.
Fabulous. Your turn, Julie.
Perfect. Oh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, nobody gets off the hook.
Okay. Hi, it's Julie from Starting From Now. You're listening to Broad on 94.9 Joy FM.
Fantastic. Oh, that's great. Thank you, guys. Thanks so much. Good luck with everything. It's really exciting times, and wish you all the best. And yeah, it's really, really awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Sonia.
Thank you so much. Thanks for your time.
All right. Thank
you. We'll be in touch with. We'll be in touch if we have get some exciting news about whatever's happening next. So we'll share messages if we got announcements.
Oh, cool, cool. Well, I've got that on record now, so you have to come up with the goods, right? Because they'll tear me apart. The fans will rip me apart. People get very excited, you know.
Right.
A little too excited. Anyway, no, that's cool. Well, thank you so much for speaking to us here on Broad.
Great. You're welcome.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
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 Bye. And so there we have it. A little chat with Rosie Lord and Julie Kalsif. These people are pretty awesome. Two wonderful women who, from Common Language Films, have put together something called Starting From Now. And it's a web series that has beaten all the naysayers pretty much, doing so well. So much success is coming their way. SBS has picked up on them, and it's getting a wider audience for sure. So Starting From Now, it's season 5 at the moment. It can be watched again and again. It has over 30 million viewers plus now, and getting help from all sorts of areas. So they've just returned from the US. It's the drama web series. We had to have LGBTIQ, and particularly good for women. So that's why I thought excellent chance to speak to them for Broad here on Joy 94.9. Hope you enjoy that interview, and we wish them all the best of luck for the future. This is Sonia. You're listening to Broad.
The 1986 women's mural from Bombonera to Barbed Wire on Smith Street was defaced early this year. Responding to the community outcry following its destruction, the Women's Mural Documentation Project is capturing your reactions to this defacement and to the 30-year history of this significant feminist mural. Danielle and Sally from the Women's Art Register want to hear from you. Get in touch, thewomensmuralproject@gmail.com. A community message supported by Broad and Joy 94.9.
Thank you. You've been listening to a broadcast on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.